This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect with your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. And we're continuing a special series called Lord of All. Acts chapter 10, verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." Hallelujah. Jesus Christ is Lord of all. You know that word, Lord, in the Greek is kurios, where we get supremacy, supreme in authority, controller, by implication, master, God, Lord, sir. And it doesn't just say Lord, it says Lord of all. And that word all in the Greek means all, any, every, the whole, always, all manner of. I want to read a brief excerpt from Matthew Henry's Introduction to the Book of Matthew. And he says this, "All the grace contained in this book is owing to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And unless we consent to him as our Lord, we cannot expect any benefit by him as our Savior." You know, I find it very interesting that Matthew Henry would have written quite a lot of that in Northern Ireland, you know, a very special part of the world. But what a wonderful quote. "All the grace contained in this book is owing to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And unless we consent to him as our Lord, we cannot expect any benefit by him as our Savior." So it's a package deal. Lord and Savior goes together. So I want you to ask yourself the question, is Jesus Christ truly Lord of all? While this isn't an exhaustive list by any means, over the next number of days, I'm going to cover a number of areas we need to focus on in this year to come if we want Jesus Christ to truly be Lord of all. Firstly, he must be Lord of our appetites. Samson was a man with a supernatural calling and an exceptional anointing, and yet, sadly, he lost it all through his unwillingness to stop indulging his carnal appetites. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. "But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means." Judges chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. "Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went and told his father and mother, saying, 'I've seen a woman in Timnah of the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me as a wife.'" There's no indication of any prayer or consultation with God in that request. Verse 8 and 9, "And after some time when he returned to get her, he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the carcass of the lion. He took some of it in his hands and went along eating. When he came to his father and mother, he gave some to them, and they ate. But he did not tell them he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." And again, we see here disobedience with regard to his vows as a Nazarite. He was never meant to touch a dead body. Judges 16 and 1, "Now Samson went down to Gaza, saw a harlot there, and went in to her." Verse 4, "Afterwards it happened that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." And so Samson, firstly in chapter 14, he saw a Philistine woman, and he took her as his wife in direct defiance of God's law. In verse 8 and 9, he ate honey from a carcass of a lion and disobedient to his Nazarite vow. Chapter 16, he saw a woman of the night, went to her. Verse 4, saw Delilah, shacked up with her. With Samson, we see a pattern of bad choices rooted in the fact that he was led by the flesh rather than by the Spirit. And ultimately, it came to the point that the Spirit of God left him, because verse 20 of chapter 16 says, "And she said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' So he woke from his sleep and said, 'I will go out as before at other times and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him." Ephesians 4 verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed to the day of redemption." What grieves the Holy Spirit? Unholiness, carnality. These are the things that grieve him, because he is a Holy Spirit. And, you know, in many languages, the word carnality or carnal comes from carne, the word for meat. So in Brazil, they have the Carnival, which is literally a festival of meat or a festival of the flesh. And this is why it's so important. Like I said, when we fast, we're putting the flesh under. And, at the moment, we're doing a 21-day Daniel fast in our church, and we have hundreds of people doing it, which is encouraging. And yes, of course, our flesh doesn't like it, but God does. And ultimately, that is all that matters. 1 Corinthians 9:27, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. The Amplified says, but like a boxer, I strictly discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached the gospel to others, I myself will not somehow be disqualified as unfit for service. And so we are called to fight the good fight of faith, and we're called to walk in discipline. And the first area we have to discipline is our appetites. Proverbs 23:2, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. The Bible warns us to deal with the flesh before it deals with you. The truth is that none of us are beyond getting in the flesh, and we can do a lot quicker than we might think. The reality is that many men and women have fallen because they underestimated their ability to resist the flesh or the carnal nature. And this is why we need to learn to discipline our bodies. 2 Samuel chapter 11, here it's talking about King David. And in some ways you could say this is a tragic story, but the reality is this could have been avoided if David had chosen to deal with his flesh, and he didn't. And I'm going to read it here because I think it gives us a very valuable insight, particularly as men, with regards to dealing with temptation. You know, none of us are beyond being tempted, but if we are wise and if we will institute the self-discipline that is necessary for us to run our race, then we won't trip up or fall. Because I think it's much easier to learn from the mistakes of others than to learn from our own mistakes. And so these things have been recorded for our benefit. Never forget that. These scriptures have been recorded clearly so that we can benefit from them and so that we can learn from them. So 2 Samuel chapter 11, and verse 1, now it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening that David arose from his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to behold. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and someone said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed for impurity, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, I am with child. And things rapidly went downhill from there, because David tried to bring Uriah home from the battlefield so that he would sleep with his wife, and then he would assume the child was his. David really stooped to great lows during this period, all as a consequence of this one sin that really snowballed. And you know, that's the way sin is. That's why the Bible says, neither give place to the devil, because, you know, one lie always leads to another. So David ends up, you know, betraying Uriah, who was a godly man and who trusted David. He ended up having him murdered after committing adultery with his wife. And, you know, it's a very sobering thing for us to consider. You know, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man who took down Goliath, the man who was so mightily anointed and used by God. And yet, notwithstanding that, when David got into the flesh, he committed some terribly evil things that in reality is 3,000 years later, we're still reflecting on his failures during this season. And so, again, I believe these things are recorded for us so that we can learn from them. And we're probably going to deal with this in more depth tomorrow, because I think this is very, very important for us to grasp. Because if we do not deal with the flesh will deal with us. And I know there's many people listening, and maybe you have issues with, you know, addictions, dysfunctions, habits. And, you know, these things are taking you on a tangent that is really taking you away from the purpose of God, the call of God, the will of God, and the peace of God, because there is no peace when we're living in sin or rebellion. And so, Lord, I just pray for every person listening today in Jesus' name, that if any person is, you know, a bit like David when he was just wandering or being tempted, I just pray for them that you would encourage them I pray you would convict them. I pray you would deliver them. And I just pray that the fear of God would grip the hearts of those who listen today in Jesus' name. And if they're being tempted to go down a route that is sinful or ungodly or immoral, I pray that you grant them repentance in Jesus' name and enable them to get back on the pathway of life in Jesus' name. Because the way of the transgressor is hard, the Bible says. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would deliver every person listening from any pathway that would lead them to death and destruction. In Jesus' name I pray. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here on UCB Ireland. God bless you.